is Wellness Wednesday on the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and joining us is Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and an assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. And thrilled to have you in studio. Always share such incredible insight, information. We've helped a lot of people along the way, and look forward to doing so.
My pleasure.
Tonight. You know, I do want to remind people, because I was just watching an interview tonight with a woman who was talking about facing the idea of losing her home and having to choose between making payments and getting her diabetes medication. You've mentioned this before. I want to remind folks of that that information. And I also want to remind folks that when you are doing research on your illnesses, that MedlinePlus.gov is someplace to go. You know, you don't want to go to all these sites. You don't want to go down a rabbit hole of, you know, picking and grabbing at all this information. And InsulinHelp.org is where you can go for help when it comes to your diabetes.
Correct.
Medication.
Yeah. And there are a lot of patient assistance programs that are available that you may qualify for, and they'll help you sort through that. They'll help you figure out what information you need to bring to the table, and which, you know, phone number to call, and what patient assistance program you might qualify for.
And we've also talked in the last few weeks about vaccinations. We've been talking about it on the show. You and I talked about it before it even became worse in parts of the country. There are these pockets of, especially it seems as though it's in urban areas, mm-hmm. or places where, whether it's by religion or cultural, I've heard now about these parties where they expose children to illnesses. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I've heard about it. It's, back in the day before we had a vaccine for against chickenpox, apparently people used to do this. I don't recall this in my childhood, thankfully, but we didn't have a vaccine. And most of us got chickenpox,
right,
just through exposure. And it's in some ways, you know, sometimes parents would have the siblings kind of come in close contact with each other to kind of get that illness out of the way, because it is a much worse illness to get as an adult if you hadn't gotten it as a child. Fortunately, now we have a vaccine for it, so that's a moot point. But with measles, it's a much more dangerous type of infection, because there are a lot of different complications that you can get. So it's not just the infection itself, but you can get an invasive form that can cause neurotoxicity and can leave, you know, people who've had the infection with blindness, deafness, long-term neurological deficits. And that's about 1 in 1,000 cases of measles can have that neurologic manifestation. And about 25% of those will be left with long-term deficits. And about 15% of those will die. Mm. So this is much more serious than having some pox scars on your skin. This is something that can either kill you or leave you with long-term, you know, sequela. So, you know, you're so much better off. It's so much healthier to get vaccinated than to get the disease itself. The disease kills, and it can cause long-term harmful effects. And there are other complications that people get. It makes you more prone to getting bacterial infections. So sometimes patients can get a bacterial pneumonia after they've gotten the measles because their immune system's so depressed. And that can be something that can be fatal as well. So it's not something that we should take lightly. And we know that vaccines work. It's been 90%, over 90% effective in reducing cases of measles in the U.S. It was declared eradicated in the year 2000, and now it's made a resurgence because people aren't vaccinating.
And I'm curious if there are folks listening tonight, no matter where you are, particularly in the Chicagoland area, but of course we reach so many parts of the country and even in Canada and around the world. But I'm wondering if there are folks in the Chicagoland area who are in these groups of friends who are doubtful, right? They believe that vaccinations are harmful. The pharmaceutical companies are trying to poison us, or the government. And, you know, part of that is you end up in this sort of bubble of information, and you become suspicious of science, and that's something that I'm not familiar with. That I have talked to a few people, because I have a child who has a neurological disorder. I have friends who have children with autism, and there are moms who truly believe, and we try to have conversations. I'm protective of what they're going through raising a child with a disability, that I don't want to attack them, and I have to remove myself from the conversation. But there are a lot of people who really believe that.
And that myth has been debunked, mm-hmm. over and over again. There was one article that was written by a researcher who falsified his data. He's since had his license revoked, and that that research study has been repudiated by the journal that it was published in. So we know that that was a false claim. Unfortunately, it's sown a seed of distrust, and it's really unfortunate because there's a lot of harm that this has caused for a lot of people.
So, and deaths, yes, when it comes to there have been fatalities.
Yes,
as
absolutely.
A result.
Absolutely, it's really a shame. I mean, you know, the whole concept of vaccination is inoculating somebody with either a part of a virus or an inactivated virus so that your body develops its own immune response so that your own antibodies prevent you from getting an actual infection with that illness. And that's the basis for how vaccines work. And I'm not sure where the fear and the mistrust come from. As a physician, it's not like I'm making money or getting rich or getting, you know, any kind of remuneration for giving a vaccine. I give a vaccine because I want to help people. I want to prevent them from getting sick. It's so much better to prevent an illness than to treat it afterwards.
And you have children.
Yes.
As a physician, if this was something that you believed was dangerous for them, you would not inoculate your own children.
Absolutely.
And yourself.
Absolutely. I get my flu shot every year. My kids are, they've gotten all their vaccines. We go together. We go to the local pharmacy together, and I get my shot first, and then they get theirs, and we all, you know, go out and have a bite to eat, and it's a ritual we have every year. And even though my kids are now, you know, 19 and 16, it was that much more important for us to do together when they were smaller. So I highly encourage people, please get your vaccines. Please look at reputable sources for information. Medlineplus.gov, G-O-V, is the National Library of Medicine's consumer website. So all of the articles that are on that website have been vetted for accuracy. Be careful of other websites where people have an agenda. They're there to sow fear. They're there sometimes to make money through advertising. So be careful where you go to for information, because not all websites and not all sources are equal.
We are talking to Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is a assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, past president of the Illinois State Medical Society. You can follow her on Twitter at @KTynes. It's Wellness Wednesday, and we encourage you to call or text us 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200. We come back and we talk about preparing for travel, some of the things that you should know about how to take care of yourself when you're either in another, even if you're in another state. You know, because of Declan, we try to make sure we know where the nearest urgent care or nearest hospital is. And not just because, and that shouldn't just be my family. That should just be like, you know, what if? When you're on a plane, you know where the emergency exits are. When you travel, know what your resources are. So when we come back, we'll have that conversation with Dr. Kathy Tynes. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Do I have any? Wellness Wednesday, and we are thrilled to have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the past president of the Illinois State Medical Society and an associate assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her at @KTynes on Twitter, and you can go to the Illinois State Medical Society's website, isms.org. And again, the website we mentioned earlier to find out more. If you're researching something, you're curious about an illness, your doctor mentioned something, medlineplus.gov is perhaps one of the best places to go to get information that's been vetted. You can also go to insulinhelp.org if you are struggling to make sure that you are able to procure your medication for diabetes, for insulin. This is the weirdest thing. Was my daughter, we were talking about vaccinations, Dr. Tynes, and the 815 says, my daughter in preschool in 95 or 96 had chickenpox. The other parents kept insisting I should bring her to school even though she was sick, so their kids would hopefully get sick. The 815 says no, and capital no, exclamation point. Thankfully. Yes.
Wow. I'm at a loss to recall what year the vaccine came out. Mm-hmm. I would assume must have been just before, because my daughter was born in 99, so I know she got the vaccine. So my guess is that this was before the vaccine was available. And we had talked about this earlier, having, you know, chickenpox parties where some parents were in the belief that it was better to catch the illness when the children were younger to get it over with, so that it wasn't a more severe infection as an adult. And I'm not sure about the merit of that argument, but certainly that's what some people believed. But there's really no reason for that type of exposure nowadays with the vaccine available.
And a listener from Donald asks about the, we're not legal experts. So Donald was wondering why vaccine companies are exempt. It was actually a Supreme Court ruling, and the Supreme Court ruled 6-2 that the federal law shields vaccine makers from public product liability lawsuits. And there are a lot of different reasons, but that, if you're asking directly why, that there was a, oh, go ahead.
Well, so in 1986, Congress passed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which creates a no-fault compensation program, and this was meant to stabilize the vaccine market. So, you know, vaccines have had tremendous positive effects on our population's health. You know, much of the gains that we've made in longevity had to do with, one, just cleaning up sanitation in mm-hmm. our environment, and two, vaccines. So all the things that we do to prevent cancer or cure cancer or all these other illnesses pale in comparison to the good that vaccines have done. Children are no longer dying from preventable diseases. So it's in the interest of the public good that manufacturers continue to make vaccines. Mm-hmm. And if you allow for lawsuits rather than providing a workers' compensation, the lawsuits damages can be much, much higher and can cripple a manufacturer's ability to continue to produce vaccines. So, and clearly the Supreme Court was in agreement that it made sense to shield the manufacturers so that they can continue to provide this public good for all of us, but still providing for compensation for people who might have been harmed from a vaccine.
Well, and that's there again, there's a texter asking about Gardasil. Now, this is something that a lot of anti-vaxxers have spread. It's a story that has gripped a lot of people, and there has been no correlation, and any of the evidence, according to sciencebasedmedicine.org, is extremely thin. And I have, again, we talked about, you know, I guess people think that, you know, we're going after something, and it's hard when you believe something and you've read something. Again, a lot of times your logarithms will continue to give you the same information over and over again. If you like one type of story, even when you Google it, you will still get things
that support your point of view.
Yeah, it's
unfortunately
the bias validation. I can't remember what the bias.
Validation bias. Yes.
Yeah, validation bias. And Griffin has gotten his vaccinations he's going to get his HPV vaccinations as well.
HPV causes cancer. And we can prevent infection with the most serious strains of HPV through a vaccine, and therefore prevent cervical cancer in women and throat and penile cancer in men. And I'm very passionate about this because my husband went through treatment for throat cancer that was caused by HPV, and it was a horrific treatment. Thankfully, he's healthy now, but he's left with some long-term sequela from that treatment. He'll never be the same. And I can't speak strongly enough about getting your child immunized against HPV, boys and girls, because the boys are the vectors that give it to the girls. So it takes two to tango. Everyone needs to get vaccinated so that we can eliminate HPV. And think about a future without cervical cancer. It just excites me beyond belief that this is a possibility, that we can prevent cancer with a vaccine.
It's a fatal diagnosis in so many different situations, isn't it?
It can be if you catch it too late.
Right.
Yes.
Now, the 630, here's the thing about that. That's not necessarily, don't sleep around and you don't need the HPV virus vaccination.
Well, wow. I think, so I've had patients in my practice who were on the verge of getting married, who maybe had one prior partner. I mean, this is something that's so prevalent in our society that even one contact can mm-hmm. expose you to HPV and lead to really some dire consequences. So, yes, I suppose if that's your approach to
it's
how...
It's 80% of sexually active adults.
Yes.
So you have to find that 20%, I guess.
We call it the common cold of the genital tract, yes.
So sleeping around, I mean, I don't know what they mean by, you know, the insinuation is if you're a slut, I guess.
I think if you are... You meet your life partner and have no partners before that person, then yes, that would be your prevention of contracting HPV. That would imply that both you and your partner are virgins when you get married, and mm-hmm. that you remain right. monogamous and remain married for the rest of your lives. For a good number of people, that scenario really isn't realistic.
80%. 14 million new infections occur yearly in the United States.
Yes.
And people can go their whole lives without knowing that they have it.
Correct.
More in a moment. We will talk more with Dr. Kathy Tynes when we come back on 720 WGN.